been at school been looking at World War II as our topic just before Christmas. And we looked at, part of the topic looked at the air raid sirens. This warning that happened before the bombers would come over and bomb the buildings and factories in this country in the Second World War. And this, before that happened, this great big alarm would go off, this great big warning. And when people heard the warning, it's a very distinctive sound, they would go and they would find shelter in the air raid shelters so that they would be safe from the bombs. And I read this passage recently and I thought how long the warning message of the gospel has been going on in this country and in many countries and in all countries around the world. And yet we still find that rather than finding shelter and salvation from the coming judgment, we find people are very indifferent. We find people are even rejecting what God is saying in the gospel. If you were in the Second World War, it would be very silly and very dangerous to ignore the warnings that were given. But if you ignore the warnings, if you ignore the message in the gospel, it's a lot more dangerous because it affects your eternal salvation. It affects something far greater than just your life down here. We have a very finite time on this earth. We have a very finite time in which the gospel is preached. We talked about it this afternoon a little. The Lord said in Luke 4, this is the acceptable year of the Lord. The gospel message has gone out from this desk week in, week out, and each week that goes past, we're getting closer to the moment where the gospel from this desk, as it's preached now, will cease forever. And your opportunity to come in blessed, to come to know God and to be blessed and to have your sins forgiven and to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, that time will be up. We live in a very finite and fragile world, and your life is finite and fragile. And we spoke in our hymn about why not tonight. And dear friend, the gospel message goes out so that you can accept it tonight, now, before you leave this room, because you never know whether this is going to be the last appeal of the message. God may be giving you tonight one last opportunity. One last opportunity to come in repentance and faith and to know the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't know, and the Bible says we don't know what the morrow may bring. Who knows, dear friend, whether we will be here this time next week. But what the Bible can promise is that right now you have the opportunity to come in repentance and faith. The world is going on to judgment. And you, it says actually, doesn't it? One of our hymns talks about this world to doom is passing. And you are passing too. The Bible's very clear. It says, thinkest, O this, O man, that thou should escape the judgment of God. Dear friend, tonight you have to take responsibility for your soul condition, realizing that you are a sinner before a holy God, and come to know the blessing and the love that God would have on offer tonight in the glad tidings. And it's all been provided by the centerpiece of the glad tidings himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's God's message of salvation concerning his Son. And so perhaps this was a rather unusual passage to read in the gospel, but it was just wanted to pick a few things out from here to talk about. We've got Jeremiah here. We go down to verse 3. He says, these 3 and 20 years the word of Jehovah has come unto me, and I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but ye have not hearkened. I don't know, dear friend, how long you've heard the gospel message. If you think about it, you've probably heard it at least 50 times every year. and you times that by however old you are, the gospel message has gone out from this desk and you've heard the message of the gospel week in, week out. And preachers have stood behind this desk and they've said the very same fundamental things that's included in the gospel. And you know the terms of the gospel. I'm not speaking to anybody in this room tonight that I think is unfamiliar with the basic gospel message. He says he's spoken the word of Jehovah for however long, 23 years. And you've heard the terms. You've heard the fact that preacher after preacher has stood behind this desk and talked about sin and talked about how far short we fall as sinners before a holy God. You've heard, dear friend, about how the standard that God has set as seen in the Lord Jesus Christ, we fall far short of. You've heard that the wages of sin is death. You've heard all these terms, dear friend. And yet it says here, and maybe it's in your heart as well, you're indifferent to them. You've heard, but you've not really listened. You've sat under the sound of it, but you've never made it your own. We all know, and you can probably recite the very basic fundamental terms of the gospel. And yet, dear friend, it's not about being able to recite things. It's about knowing them for yourself. And that's the key element that I want to push home tonight, dear friend, is that I could stand here and speak to you about sin and about the cross, and I will do, but it's about making it your own, coming personally to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, to know that the wages of sin is death, that all men have sinned and fallen short. You know, sometimes we get that sense of maybe I am a sinner. Maybe I have done things that are wrong. Maybe I do have to answer one day to a holy and a righteous God. But perhaps we're very content to comfort ourselves by comparing ourselves to other people. We've all, or most of us here, have been brought up in Christian homes. And perhaps morally, we think we're doing okay. But compared to the people in the world, compared to the people you read about in the newspaper, you think maybe you're doing better than they are. That you're not quite as bad as they are. But when you compare like with like, you just get a relative assessment. What you want to do, dear friend, is compare yourself, your life, your motives to the standard that God has set out. The perfect standard in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you compare yourself to Him, when you compare yourself to the Son of God, you find yourself coming short infinitely. And that there is no way that you in your sinful state can ever think of being blessed by a holy and righteous God. You cannot merit your way into salvation. You cannot earn your way into salvation. We've heard these terms before. This was God's people that was being spoken to here. They knew about God. They knew about how God dealt with things. And dear friend, as I say, most of us know the terms of the gospel very well. And yet have we really listened? Have we really taken it to heart? Have we really had the reality of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour? Or do we just think that by turning up to the meetings, by being brought up in a Christian household, as good as those things are, they don't ever come close to being what is necessary in order to affect your eternal salvation? What is necessary, dear friend, is coming to know the Saviour for yourself. It says you've not hearkened. You've spoken for this long, but you've not listened. And that's so much like us, isn't it? Where we're quite happy to listen and to talk about all sorts of things. We're happy to talk about politics or business or sport or all sorts of other things. And we're happy to make plans for our household and our children and our businesses. And yet we don't, dear friend, and maybe you haven't, got a plan for eternity. The indifference of such an important matter of eternity. And yet we just sort of blow it off for another week. We ignore it. Because there's things that down here that take up our time. And yet, dear friend, there is nothing more important than making sure that you have to do with a righteous God. And tonight, dear friend, you have that opportunity to come to know Him as a Saviour God. You've not hearkened. Tonight, dear friend, you do have an opportunity. The Bible says today, if you hear His voice, harden not your hearts. You might be sitting there, dear friend, with a heart that comes to the meeting every week, and you sort of the words of the preacher and the words of the scriptures and the words of the hymns just sort of glaze over the top of your head. And yet tonight, dear friend, God is able to break down your hard heart. God is able to plant in your heart the seed that is able to grow into salvation. God is able to plant in your heart something tonight from the scriptures that will grow, and that you will then be able to, by the work of the Holy Spirit, be able to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as a Saviour. They had this one opportunity. Well, they've had many opportunities back in Jeremiah, but they'd been spoken of. Jeremiah says, "Turn again now every one from his evil way." Throughout the whole of Jeremiah and some of the other prophets as well, they'd said time and time again to turn from their evil ways. And this was sort of almost their last, I don't know if it was almost a last opportunity. This was the pronouncement of judgment happening. But tonight, dear friend, you do have an opportunity. Tonight, dear friend, you do have this moment in time to turn from your evil ways and come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in Isaiah, got it written here, "Turn unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other." Dear friend, God stands tonight ready to bless. God stands tonight desiring that you come to know him. God stands tonight with a righteous foundation whereby you can come into blessing. Turn unto me and be saved. We've spoken about how you're a sinner. We've spoken about how you're far away from God. And yet God tonight, in his love, in his grace, in his mercy, has stepped out from his own side, moved towards you when you could not move towards him, and has stepped out and we have a hymn, don't we, with arms outstretched to bless. God wants to bless you tonight. God wants to include each and every person in this room tonight in his blessing. And he says, "Turn unto me and be saved." Open your ears tonight, dear friend. See what God has done for you in the giving of his beloved Son. It says, doesn't it, in the Gospels, "Come, all things are ready." Everything's been done, dear friend. God looked at our helpless case, our helpless and our hopeless case, and he's moved out from his own side. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He sent the Lord Jesus Christ, his Son. You get that wonderful parable, don't you, in the New Testament. It says, "Finally, I'll send my Son." This was God giving everything that he had in order to secure you, a sinner. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While you were yet in your sins, while you were yet at enmity with God, while you were yet wicked, while your heart was far away from God, God loved you and God sent his Son here to die on your behalf so that you can come into blessing. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. What a gift it was to have God give this infinitely costly gift to secure you into blessing. And it meant the death of his Son on that cross in order to bring you back into blessing, dear friend, in order to give you eternal life. It meant that perfect, spotless sacrifice had to die. That blood had to be shed. And the Lord Jesus Christ on that cross was hanging there for the and took the judgment of God upon his head so that God can move out tonight in blessing. The foundation has been set. The way has been opened up. The curtain of the temple was torn in two. And God can now burst forth in blessing and love towards you tonight, a sinner. What a picture of love it is. And what a cost it was to God. And now, dear friend, the responsibility is on you to respond. He says, "Turn and be saved," in Isaiah. You have the opportunity tonight. "I am a God and there is no other." There's no other way to salvation, dear friend. There's no other God, dear friend. This is the God of the Bible. This is the God that gave his beloved Son. This is the God who created this world. The God who split the Red Sea. The God who raised the dead. The God who healed. The God who loves. And it's this same God, dear friend, that gave everything so that you can come into blessing tonight. When you think about it, what on earth, dear friend, did we do to deserve God's love being poured out on us? The answer is nothing. It's God's love purely from his own side. And what a gift has been given. And what a responsibility we have now to respond in faith, in obedience to what God has said and come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour. All things are ready. Come. Everything's been done. The Lord Jesus Christ, those few words that he said on the cross, the most important of all probably, it is finished. Done and dusted forever. There's nothing else that needs to be done. He says he's offered a sacrifice for sin once and he sat down. There's never going to need to be a repeat of that sacrifice. No. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he shed that blood and God took account of that blood, he says, when I see the blood in Exodus, I will pass over. And God looked at the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, dear friend, you can shelter under that blood because God has seen that that sacrifice met the righteous requirements that he had. And now he can move out towards you tonight in blessing. And all you need to do, dear friend, is take that up in faith. Come to own the fact that you're a sinner. Come to own the fact that there's nothing that you can do. Come to own the fact that there's nothing on your side at all that is in any way pleasing to God. It's always been about the Lord Jesus Christ. And coming to know him means that you can come to know and experience the love of the Father. And what a gift he's given to us in the gospel, in the giving of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It says later on here, he says, not to go on after other gods to serve and to worship them. In Thessalonians, it says about they turned to God from idols. And I'm always intrigued by the way that verse is set out. They've turned to God from idols. It's the attractiveness of everything that God is and everything that God's done that's meant that people are attracted to him. They've turned to him. They see that God can offer something infinitely better than what the world can offer. It says about here, do not go after other gods. And you know, dear friend, tonight the devil will be trying to put all sorts of barriers and things in your way to take up your time and to make sure that you're not really listening tonight and that your minds are on other things and your affections are somewhere else. But dear friend, God would have you tonight come to realize that there's nothing in this world that can satisfy you like the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We spoke a few weeks ago, didn't we, about the woman at the well in John 4. She was looking for satisfaction elsewhere in her immoral life, if you like. The younger son of Luke 15 tried to find his satisfaction elsewhere. Tried to find things that would fill his heart up. And what did he find? Yes, it worked for a time. It would be silly of me to stand here and say that the world doesn't offer things that can satisfy. It says in the Bible about the temporary pleasures of sin. But the key word there, dear friend, is temporary. There's nothing permanent. There's nothing that will hold your satisfaction, hold your affections forever down here, friend. The devil likes to make you think that everything down here is fun and it's all fun and games. But behind it all is just a snare to keep you away from the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is able to give you true satisfaction, true peace, true joy, and a true sense of purpose and belonging and a true direction for your life as you travel down here. Do not go after other gods. Whatever you're chasing after tonight, dear friend, you will never catch it. You will never catch what the devil wants puts in front of you. The carrot that he's got in front of you, dear friend, you will never, ever catch. But what the Bible offers is something that is so full, so free, something that will satisfy your heart forever. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is a treasure that will never grow dim, that will never grow old. A person that you can draw from throughout all your time from down here, and we will spend all eternity praising and worshipping, and we will never, ever exhaust what things to praise and worship him about. He's everything to lots of people in this room, I know, dear friend. But the question I want to ask you, is he everything to you? That's the important thing. We can talk, and I'm talking tonight, the things that you've heard week in, week out. But you've got to know these things for yourself. You've got to know personally the Lord Jesus Christ. To know the joy, the peace, the freedom that comes from having your sins forgiven. It's a remarkable, it's a wonderful thing to know that your sins, which once stood out as scarlet before God, have been washed as white as snow. And that happens because you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. That happens because you come to realize that on that cross he paid the penalty that you should have paid as a sinner before God. And then we come to this last little bit here, verse 7. That you might provoke me to anger with the work of your hands to your own hurt. You know, dear friend, God wants the very best for you. God wants to give you things that are blessings for you. If you ignore the gospel tonight, if you choose to be indifferent to the gospel, it will cause, dear friend, if you completely ignore the gospel, there's an eternity as separated away from God to deal with. But God wants to bring you into blessing. God wants to do what's best for you. Our heart doesn't know what's best for us. God knows what's best for us, and God wants to bring us into blessing. He says earlier on in verse 5, to dwell in the land that Jehovah has given unto you. There's not just, dear friend, in the gospel message, the opportunity to be saved from the penalty of sin, to have an eternity away from hell and in heaven. That would be a remarkable thing as it is. That would be reason enough to preach the gospel if all I had to say was, you will spend an eternity with God in heaven and you won't go to hell when you die from and leave this earth. That would be reason enough to preach the gospel. But we don't serve a God of just enough. We serve a God of abundance, a God who loves to give, a God who desires to go over and above our very expectations. We have a God who wants to give so much in the gospel. He wants to give you his Holy Spirit to dwell inside of you. He wants to give you a new heart, a new life, a new perspective, a new hope. He wants to bring you into this group of people, a family called the church. He wants to bring you into this place of privilege where we can worship and praise the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants to give you a hope in your heart that one day you will see your Saviour face to face. You know, as we go down our pathway here, perhaps that hope should become stronger in our hearts. And we look around the world today and we look at the despair and we look at the dread that many people are feeling at the moment in the context that we're in. What a privilege it is as a Christian to have a hope that our life doesn't end here. Paul, when he's speaking about the rapture, this wonderful moment when the Lord returns, he says, we who remain. And it's a privilege to know, dear friend, that as a Christian, we're not looking for death down here. We're looking for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the hope of a believer. Our hope is not down here. Our hope is not with the things that will eventually be caught up in judgment. Our hope is with the Lord Jesus Christ. Our hope is that one day we'll hear that voice. We'll see him face to face. It says the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we, the living who remain, will be caught up. And then it says we will forever be with the Lord. And what a wonderful thing it is, dear friend, to know that one day you'll be with your Saviour forever in this wonderful, with everybody else that belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we will spend eternity praising and worshipping him. You know, what more can we offer in the gospel, dear friend? There's an abundance of blessing to be found by coming to know the Saviour as your Saviour. There's nothing more that God desires, dear friend, than to bring you into this blessing tonight. There's nothing more that God can do tonight to bring you into blessing. He's provided everything. As I said, the foundation's been set. The blood has been shed and the foundation's been built. And all that's required of you tonight, dear friend, is to come in repentance and come in faith. Just as I am, the hymn says. Just as I am. And God, dear friend, has never once rejected a sinner that comes to him in repentance and faith. Back to our verse in Isaiah that I quoted it. It says, all the ends of the earth, wherever you are in your state of soul, whoever you are, whatever your history, God is willing and ready to accept to bless you based on the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, I don't care what you've done in your history. What matters now, dear friend, is that your new life, your new heart is given to you tonight by coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour. What an innumerable amount of blessings are on offer in the gospel tonight. And it's all because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done on that cross at Calvary. But the warning, as we spoke about at the beginning, these people had heard about and they'd seen all through the Old Testament the many things that God had done to bless his people, to bring them through the difficult times. And yet it says they came here and they had not hearkened. They had not listened. They'd grown indifferent. They'd grown cold. They'd grown tired. They'd grown complacent. And dear friend, whether you're a Christian or an unbeliever tonight, don't let your heart grow cold. Don't let your mind or heart get complacent with God. Towards the end of Revelation, it talks about a lukewarm church, a church that was neither really here nor there. And dear friend, it's a very easy thing to fall into, especially, you know, as you go on in your Christian faith, to grow complacent, to grow cold in your faith, to maybe not view God with the same fire and the same passion that you once did. And dear friend and dear believer, it's such an important thing to keep. Paul talks about your life down here as a marathon, an endurance race. This is not a sprint. Christian life is not a sprint. It requires patience. It requires time. It requires endurance. It requires strength. And it requires courage to keep moving forward. And you know, God is a God who talks and speaks, not just initially, tonight, when you're saved. That still small voice that we spoke about. God doesn't stop talking the moment that you're saved and that's it. You're sort of just left down here. God speaks continually. And we're going through a pretty difficult time in this country and around the world at the moment. And we need to be very clear about what is God saying to us individually at the moment. We don't want to be like these people here where it says, you've not hearkened, you've not listened. God's speaking, and God, I don't know how much more loudly God can speak at the moment. And we need to find out, what is God saying to us individually, as a company, and as a church, in its absolute sense? What is God saying to us? Going back to Revelation, it says, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. God hasn't stopped speaking tonight, dear believer. God is still speaking. And it's our responsibility, through really delving deep into God's word and spending time in prayer, to realize what God is saying to us at the moment. And I think we'll just don't really have a huge amount more to say. But I just want to reiterate, if you're unsaved tonight, don't be like these people here where it says you've not hearkened. Don't let your heart be hard. God would be desiring and willing you to come to know him as a Saviour God. And the opportunity to do that is right now. And dear friend, I pray before you leave this room tonight, you may have had that personal transaction with the Saviour, to know that peace and that joy. But if you are a Christian in here and you're a believer in the Lord Jesus, I just urge you, and I speak to myself more than anybody else, to really get into what is God saying at the moment, that our ears may be open to hear, that we may be hearers and doers of the word that God would be speaking to us at the moment. Not relying on past things, past times, but understanding what God is speaking to us presently, and to have the wisdom to know what to do and how to move forward best. And so I just leave these things with you, that we may be a people who are listening to what God is saying, for his name's sake. Amen.